Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage provides practical and moral guidance, emphasizing the importance of humility, genuine friendship, and diligent work. Solomon cautioned against boasting about the future, and he highlighted the value of honest rebuke over flattery. He also underscored life's unpredictability, and he extolled prudent stewardship. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 27 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of this chapter that is filled with godly wisdom.
Proverbs chapter 27. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. One translation says, you don't have a clue what tomorrow may bring to you. Isn't that true, though? Three reasons, probably more, why we should not boast about tomorrow. Number one, none of us know what it has in store for us. Number two, tomorrow is not guaranteed any person in the sanctuary tonight. And third, here's the best reason, probably the only one we need. God says not to. Don't boast about tomorrow. The Apostle James warned about the same problem. And it basically is this: arrogant presumption about the future with no regard for God. What we need is to humbly acknowledge the fact that we really do not know what tomorrow has in store. Remember how James writes in chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Remember in Luke chapter 12, the rich fool's soul was required of him the very night that he gloated about having such abundance in his barns. Proverb is not only warning about boasting of a tomorrow that may never come, it is also a warning against procrastination and the need to be diligent. The bottom line is the Bible tells us that we should plan, but our plans should always be submitted to the will of God, because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's always if the Lord wills. It's a good thing to say, if the Lord wills. Verse 2, let another man praise thee and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I wish that our politicians would read that proverb. And the Hebrew word translated praise, it comes from a word that means to brag, to boast. And it's true that self-praise is really the mark of a self-confident fool. Self-promotion, self-exaltation. To me, it sounds like the religious Pharisee in the temple in Luke chapter 18. How disgusting. What a contrast between him and the publican who saw who he really was in the sight of God and smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18, we read, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Proverbs 25, 27 said, it is not good, it still says it, but I'm saying said because we were there a couple weeks ago, it is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not good. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. I think it was C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity that says that self-promotion is the anti-God state of mind. That was the devil. And it could turn an angel into a devil. And so here, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Verse 3, a stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath or provocation is heavier or more intolerable than them both. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the wrath of man never accomplishes the righteousness of God. But here there's a fool's wrath, and it becomes a burden to all who must bear the brunt of it. Back in Proverbs 17, verse 12, we read, "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly." In other words, the ill temper and the anger of a headstrong fool are harder to endure than any material weight is to carry. Verse 4, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" Envy and jealousy have been called horrible and devilish passions, and they are. They will rob you of peace. They will rob you of joy. Jealousy, referring to the husband of the woman with whom a man committed adultery, which says in Proverbs 6, "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts." There's no good thing that can come from envy and jealousy. The rabbis had this story about envy. Quote, "There were two persons, one covetous and the other envious, to whom a certain person promised to grant whatever they should ask, but double to him who should ask last. The covetous man would not ask first because he wished to get the double portion. And the envious man would not make the first request because he could not bear the thought of thus benefiting his neighbor. However," listen to this, "at the last, he requested that one of his eyes should be taken out in order that his neighbor might lose both." Envy, covetousness. Envy is like poison, poison. Envy, bitterness, jealousy. And we have to be very careful about that as believers, because envy can quench the spirit. Jealousy can quench and grieve the spirit of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 30, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness in the bones." It's like a spiritual termite. It will get inside of you. You'll rot from the inside out. And tonight, if you're dealing with envy, take it to the cross. If you're dealing with jealousy, take it to the cross. It's not good. It's not of the Lord. Verse 5, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." A rebuke coming from a heart of love, it improves our lives when it is given with the right spirit, and it's meant to correct harmful behavior. Open rebuke is good. Now, it's our flesh doesn't like this. We're so sensitive, aren't we? Aren't we? We're so touchy. And yet, here, open rebuke, what it is spoken about, open rebuke really affords a person the chance to reflect on the course of the path that they're walking on. In other words, someone that loves you, well, we're going to see it in the next verse, so I'm going to hold the comment, because it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Who kissed Jesus in the garden? Judas Iscariot. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." These are rebukes or criticisms that are intended to correct. Now, your attitude has to be right. There are some people that may be correcting you, but their attitude is wrong. Even though the wounds of a friend or an open rebuke can be painful, we find here that they are far more valuable than hidden or secret love. Proverbs 28, verse 23, we'll get there the next chapter. It says, "He that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue." Remember in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And again, here, there was an open rebuke. And remember how in 2 Samuel chapter 12, faithful were the wounds of Nathan to David. The love that will not speak the truth, it's been said, under the pretense of fearing to inflict pain by God's standard is actually hatred. Leviticus 19:17 says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not allow sin upon him. And so it is a good thing when someone speaks words of correction into your life. It's a good thing. It may not seem good, but it's always good. A good friend is going to tell you the truth. They're going to look you right in the eyes and tell you the truth. That's real love. That's real love. And we need to realize that, because we're going to see there's a passage that we're going to be looking at tonight. Iron sharpens iron. And what happens when iron sharpens iron? Sometimes sparks fly, right? And yet this is a good thing. Thank God for the Word of God. I think that this is good medicine for a marriage. You know, faithful, just speaking loving words, truthful words to one another. That's real love. For somebody to allow you to continue in sin or continue in a way that is not godly or holy, that's not loving you. The philosopher Seneca wrote, quote, I love not my friend if I never offend them. Now, that may be a philosopher, but it's truth. And it's good. And that's how we grow, right? Isn't it how we grow? You know, anybody that plays sports, when I was younger, I played ball. And the toughest coaches that I ever had always told me what I was doing wrong and how I could do it better. Ray, this is how you hold the bat. I think, no, I know how to hold the bat. No, you hold the bat like that, you're never going to hit the ball anywhere. No, I know. And they were right, and they loved it. You said, you know, this is your curveball stinks, or this or that. This is good. This is good medicine, don't you think?
Amen.
Right? Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting that when the Bible study's over, you look for somebody that you can rebuke for no reason tonight just to practice it. But it's good medicine. Look at verse 7. The full soul loathes the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. The Bible talks about moderation. And moderation is profitable in all things. A full soul is oftentimes complaining about the blessing of God that should be the cause of great delight. And how we need to learn to be thankful to the Lord. How we need to learn to be content for all that the Lord gives to us and does for us. Remember the prodigal son. He would fain fill himself with the husks which the swine did eat. The Portuguese have a saying, quote, salty water is sweet in a dry land. The full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And this book here is the best food for a hungry soul. You hunger, get into this word. You thirst, get into this word. Eat, drink, and let that word get into your heart and soul. As a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. When a person wanders away from their calling or from their responsibilities in life, they're exposing themselves to danger. And I don't mean to hit a sour note here, but how devastating it is when you see people that have chosen to wander away from their marriages in the pursuit of happiness, or wander away from their ministry in the pursuit of an easier life. And so many times people fall for the lie that the grass is greener on the other side. But in doing so, they put themselves in peril. It's been said Do you know what makes grass greener on the other side? Manure. You want grass to be greener when you are? Water it. Water it with the Word of God. Don't you just love how God's Word is just so plain, so simple? You know, you have to pay a psychologist $150 to sit on the couch, and he'll tell you this in an hour. Look, that's free. It's free. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go to thy brother's house in the day of your calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproaches me. Verse 12, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Charles Stanley, he's in heaven now, but he said in one of his Bible studies, quote, trusting in God does not mean that we can be reckless and irresponsible, living our lives without any thought to the hazards and challenges that exist in this fallen world. Rather, we must be discerning, assessing our situations carefully, and seeking the Lord's guidance and protection for both the seen and unseen perils. A man of understanding will be a person who hastens to remove themselves from even the appearance of evil. It's wise to make proper provision for any dangers that may lie ahead. There's nothing wrong with storing up food for a rainy day or something like that if the Lord doesn't return. That's just wise. The scripture tells us about Noah. Remember, he was warned of God of the impending judgment. And what does it say in Hebrews 11:7? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, what, a fear of God, he was warned, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He heard of the evil to come, he did what God told him to do, and when the judgment came, he was spared. Whenever an individual ignores the commandments of God, he or she will suffer punishment for it. And when a person ignores the dangers of making certain choices, forfeiting the wisdom of God for their own flesh, they suffer for it every single time. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. We covered this warning about co-signing for an irresponsible person back in chapter 6. And in Proverbs 22, verse 26 and 27, we read, be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If you have nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Good common sense. You never co-sign for a loan of somebody that cannot pay it, because what? You'll be responsible for it. And if you cannot pay it, well, then you're going to suffer. Good wisdom, good wisdom. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. How many of you are early risers? I'm not going to ask how early. 3 o'clock? How about 4? Everybody on Social Security raises their hand. I really doubt, Paul and Mary, that if I stood outside the front door of your house at 4 a.m. says, you know, you guys are so sweet and so lovable, and I just love you. Paul would probably come downstairs and give me a WWE body slam. In love. But, you know, the implication here is that a wise person knows when it is appropriate to speak. There's wisdom in just knowing when to speak, what to say. It's very important, isn't it? You're not going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and think that you or your family or your neighbors will think fondly of you. You get the idea. Now, maybe after 4 a.m. it would be good, but not before 4 a.m. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to duck now. Verses 15 and 16. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hides her hides the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Okay. Let's move on to verse 17. No. But this is repeated in the Proverbs. In chapter 25, verse 24, it says, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Now, the roofs there in the Middle East were pretty ill constructed. They were subject to leakage. And so whenever it rained, there would be a lot of damage. And the interesting thing is Solomon's speaking from experience, right? He's talking about a woman. 1 Kings 11:3, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he was the wisest man on the earth. Which proves what? You can have good, sound, biblical wisdom, but it's worth nothing unless you take the advice. Whoever tries to restrain a quarrelsome woman might as well attempt to control the wind or grasp oil with his hand. But let me say this, ladies. You know, when I hear God, your Father, God, your Savior, saying to you, here's what I hear. Ladies, there's a better way to get your point across or make your needs known than being quarrelsome and contentious. In other words, honey, can we just talk about something instead of let's get ready to rumble? You know that guy? No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. Nobody hears when it gets to that point. Nobody's listening to anyone. And you're not trying to settle a score. Who's going to win? Who's going to be the last man standing? Guys, try to grasp oil in your hand. You get the point here, right? But let me say this. There's some guys that are like this, too. Yeah. Everything's contentious. Honey, would you mind if I bought a new dress? What? I think there's a right way to address issues and needs, right? We all have issues. We all have needs, right? And in a marriage, you just learn how to talk. You learn how to pray. You learn how to go to the Lord. It's not a matter of who wins, him or her, but that he's glorified. Lord, how can we glorify you in this situation? What is the most God-glorifying way to deal with this? And so, yeah, I mean, how many of you have ever had a leaking faucet in the middle of the night? It sounds like Niagara Falls. Right? And then you're going to shut off all of the, well, if you know where they are, where how to turn the water off. I usually, when something happens with plumbing, I'll call Reuben or somebody. Come on over. But in other words, ladies, pray. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Go to your husband with your needs. And if he loves the Lord, I'll tell you what, if he loves the Lord and he loves you, he's going to do more than you ask. He will. But if you go with him with, it's not going to work. All right. Verse 17. Iron sharpens iron. You ever see those, you know, when they're sharpening iron, sparks are flying, right? That's what happens when iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What a beautiful imagery here. Friends can sharpen one another, even as one piece of metal can sharpen and brighten another piece of metal. But there's some friction there, isn't there? When iron sharpens iron, I've said it, sparks fly. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.